Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Little detour before we get to our Dennis Allen sound here from the cutdowns the Saints have made today. Wanted to point out, Dylan Cruz, congratulations, your first MLB hit. The Washington Nationals taking on the Yankees. He slapped a double. The Nationals currently leading the Yankees 1-0. But so Dylan Cruz now has his first MLB hit, and it comes against, Carly, good old Gerrit Cole.
Oh, wow. Yeah. How about that? Keep that baseball going. That's awesome.
Dennis Allen spoke today after the Saints made their roster moves. Like we've talked about, folks, the work isn't done right now. There's going to be plenty of players that have hit the waiver wire right now that the Saints are now going to evaluate whether they want to add anyone to this team in the coming days or, you know, stay pat as they get ready for the September 8th season opener against the Carolina Panthers. Here's what head coach Dennis Allen had to say.
Obviously, you guys probably all seen we made a number of roster moves today to get our roster down to 53. There's a lot that happens over the course of the next 24, 48 hours, really all the way up through the first game of the season, and certainly it doesn't change. It slows down a little bit as the season moves along, but there's constant flow of roster changes and moves that get made, and so I probably won't comment specifically on a lot of our roster moves or who we're trying to bring back or any of that type of stuff, because there's a lot that goes on over the next course of the next few days. So,
one guy, you got Rico Payton, just kind of the overall thoughts on preseason he had, the camp he had, the growth he made.
Yeah, I thought he did some good things. Young guy, did some good things on special teams. He impressed us on a few things.
You guys kept Nick Saldivari without an IR designation or anything. Does that speak well to your projected timetable on him?
Yeah, I'm hopeful that we'll have him back soon.
What went into your funding decision?
Yeah, I think, look, as with a number of these battles, they were tight, tough decisions. And I think ultimately a couple of factors, Hayball's younger. I think he's got a little bit more leg talent. And I think over the course of the last couple of weeks of practice, he was probably a little bit more consistent than Lou. And had a good conversation with Lou. I think he'll be punting in our league again. So,
how do you handle the backup quarterback situation going forward, like such a unique young room? Like, do you tell them there's a 2-3, or is it still
they're still competing, and I really want that to be that way throughout the course of the season, that those guys are coming out here every day and they're competing. It's a healthy competition. I think both those guys have done well, and so I'm not in any way ready to make any sort of statement or comment or declaration, anything of that nature. We'll just let those guys keep coming out and working and practicing and getting better. And here's the deal with both of those players, both of them, we've got to develop. And so we've got to find ways to get reps for these guys, whether it be on the show team or whether it be, extra sessions with some of the, young skill guys, things of that nature. Like, they're going to have to continue to work to develop. I think that's probably the most unique thing and probably the bigger challenge of all this is that we have two young guys that need work, that need to develop, and there's only so many snaps you can get throughout the course of a week. So that'll be our challenge.
And does anyone, did the team generally get younger? Is your 53 generally younger than maybe it has been in years past?
I don't know. I mean,
it wasn't like when that was
then. No, it was really about, there's a lot of things that go into making roster decisions and roster management and that type of stuff. And so I do know that, look, there was a number of young players that made the team. There's a number of undrafted free agent players that are on, the initial 53-man roster. So I think we did kind of as we normally do. We go through the, analyzing the roster and make the decision on what we think is the right 53 for our team.
Mason Tipton is another one of those. Even though he didn't get to play in a preseason game, what did he How was he able to show you enough before that?
Yeah, look, I mean, obviously with him not participating in preseason games, that's something that I wish that we could have seen, but I felt like he did enough in the time that he was out there that warranted, a spot on the 53.
Did you see anything from Will Harris and Jordan Howard specifically?
I thought both of those guys did some good things. You know, I think both of them have some qualities that we like, and I think both those guys are going to help us.
Was there anyone, we can't always tell what we're looking at in special team sessions and practice. Is there anyone?
You don't really want me to comment on that, do you?
That we don't know what we're saying.
Go ahead, I'm just messing.
But is there anyone that made this team because they were, they really made themselves stand out in that area?
I wouldn't say that there was anybody that just in that sole regard made the team just for those purposes. There were a number of players that I think did some good things in the kicking game that I think can help us in that area. Certainly, I think Rico Payton's a guy that I think can help us in that area. And yet, I thought he did some good things from a coverage standpoint, too. So I wouldn't say there was anybody. I know, like, back when we first brought JT Gray in, like, he made the team specifically in regards to his special teams ability. And I don't know that was the case with this 53.
And you only have 8 offensive linemen right now. Are we smart to guess that there will be more work and research done?
Well, I would say typically along our offensive line, between active roster players and practice squad players, that number's probably ranged anywhere from 10 to 12, players. So I don't get too into having to have a specific number of players at each position. Certainly you have to have enough, but I think it's more about managing your roster and the right 53. How do we get the right guys for the practice squad, and how are we able to manage all those aspects to put the best team out on the field?
Groupie over Smith, was the inside the 50 kind of the consistency kind of the deciding factors there?
Yeah, I think so. I think both those guys did some good things. And look, I like Blake Groupie. I thought this last year. I think it again this year. He's gotten in the games. He's made the kicks that he's needed to make. I think he's been consistent in practice. And I've seen an improved player from even where he was at this point last year. And so I feel very confident about that.
Anthony Orji goes from being a guy practice squad last year to making the roster this year. What do you show you that led to that decision?
Yeah, I think just an improved knowledge of the system. I think improved play. I think last year his head was kind of spinning a little bit, and I think he's much more comfortable in what we asked him to do. His ability now he played all three linebacker positions. He was much improved in the kicking game, so those are the improvements and the things that you hope you see from these young players. You hope you see improvement from year one to year two and then into year three, and hopefully those things will continue.
So the final preseason game that he only played Mike, if I remember correctly, was that a specific decision based on snap counts and having to move around?
Well, no, I think anything you saw in the last preseason game was probably more of a reflection on who we decided to play or who we didn't decide to play and how it was best to play in that game.
What are like the next 18 hours like for you guys as far as like looking what other teams did and comparing them?
Yeah, so I would say primarily what's happening right now is our personnel department's been hard at work, and this has been going on well before today, but they're hard at work on, we're reading all your reports on who gets released or not released, and we start doing the work on those guys, and then I'm assuming, I don't know if I've even seen the final report, if that's even come out yet in terms of who was released. Those guys will identify guys that they feel like might fit something that we'd be interested in. And then as coaches, we'll take a look and see if there's something that became available, whether it be through claim, a vested player that was released and is now free. I mean, those are all the things that we'll do throughout the course of the night and into tomorrow morning. And on top of that, we're beginning the process of getting our initial preparation ready for Carolina.
Troy Daniels is another player that you can speak to, what you saw from him throughout training camp and preseason?
Yeah, look, I think he's an improved player. I thought he did some good things for us. I thought he ran the ball well the other night. He's been a guy that's that's been able to do some things in the passing game. So, yeah, I was pleased with the progress that he's made from where he was when we picked him up after Buffalo released him last year.
You guys had four undrafted free agents in Sean and Kelly.
Well, I think a couple things. I think, A, I'd say, you know, kudos to our college scouting department that was able to go out and find these guys. They had some sort of quality that we felt like we could develop. And so I think those guys did a nice job going out and finding those guys. I think our coaches did a nice job of developing them. I see where some of these guys were when they first walked into the building. And quite frankly, some of them I didn't really think would have a chance. And they just continued to work and continue to improve. And, you know, ultimately, they did enough to get through this initial, you know, first round of roster moves. And, you know, we'll see how the rest of the, you know, week shapes up.
Big poker.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think generally guys that stay in college a little bit longer, they have an opportunity to mature a little bit more. They're a little bit more pro ready from a mental maturity standpoint, more so than anything else. And so, yeah, I think those things are beneficial.
I'm just non-roster got that question.
Thank you.
Taysom Hill just turned 34. Obviously, we've all seen him do play all the different positions. And just from your perspective, the things he's able to do physically at this age, how rare is that? Just his body.
Going down a slippery slope right there, but no, look, I mean, I don't know. I mean, how many football players have you guys seen that are like Taysom Hill? You know, that do all the different things that he does. I mean, it's certainly, obviously, very unique. And I'm glad we have that skill set on our team that we can, you know, hopefully continue to be creative with how we want to utilize him. And really, honestly, hopefully we can get maybe even a little bit more out of him than what we've been able to get to this point. I mean, there's a lot of different things that he can do. And I think I said this, you know, probably at least a couple weeks ago, just the excitement that I have to see this player through a new lens and different things that he can do. And so I think it'll be fun to see as the season starts, you know, the different ways that Clint and the offensive staff can utilize this player, because I think he's unique. And, you know, I think from a physical standpoint, you know, I don't see a declining physical skill set at 34 years old. I see still a very good skill set in terms of what he can do and how he can help us.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dennis Allen there, his post-roster cut press conference, that last cut talking about Taysom Hill. And Charlie, I'm still aggravated with ESPN's fantasy football. He's still just listed as a tight end. I feel like he should have multiple positions available for Taysom.
I think that's the best spot for him in fantasy football, though.
But I think like if he I was feel only like quarterback, running back.
No, I get it. But like if he was only listed at quarterback, like, I mean, you're not going to be starting Taysom Hill. But if he's a tight end, and like, there's not many tight ends that have a fantasy ceiling of someone like Taysom Hill. So, yeah, I mean, as far as the skill set goes, you could have put him on basically, what, three different spots on this roster? You could have put him at running back / fullback. You could have put him at, you know, tight end. You could have put him at quarterback. As coach,
wide receiver.
Yeah, as Coach D.A. said, he's got a unique skill set. And there's not really anybody like Taysom Hill. And that's what we've always praised about him.
Definitely looking forward to seeing what's in store for her in this season in Clint Kubiak's scheme. I know a lot of folks have been, you know, questioning what's he lined up at fullback for?
Yeah, I know also as far as this DA audio, Steve, that people were swarming on Twitter when he kind of came out that DA said that QB2 battle still isn't really settled.
Keeping it very close to the vest right now.
And Jake Haener. As you mentioned, Steve, he's keeping it close to the vest.
If there is anything I'll say about it is if that preseason finale was that final job interview, I won't say Spencer Rattler aced it, but he definitely would get the job for me over Haener. He had the better day, leading three touchdown drives. And overall, from what we saw at least, like I said, Spencer Rattler would be QB2 for me. I know that's not a popular opinion by some of the media who are covering training camp that say Haener was actually more accurate in the practices.
It's definitely a popular opinion among fans.
And fans, for sure. They wanted to be QB1.
Well, yeah, some of them do. A subset of them do. But as far as, you know, the whole battle, and as you mentioned, taking into account not just the preseason games, but also training camp and what happened there, it felt like it was very back and forth from everything that we've heard from the guys that were covering it out in California. But just talking about the preseason games, I'll say it, Steve, I think he aced that finale. So
for sure, right.
It's a matter of, you know, putting everything together and then ultimately making your decision. But as you said, Steve, they seem very hesitant to declare a winner as of now. But we'll see if that changes.
2A and 2B.
Yeah, once the initial depth chart comes out, they'll have to make something, unless they do like the or whatever.
Exactly,
which is,
right.
Oh, God, that's going to be dumb. You know that's what's going to happen.
Saints fans, we've been talking about all the moves. Saints cuts got to 53 today. You can have all that information on WWL. Jeff Nowak is all over the latest moves. Follow along. Check out Jeff Nowak's cut tracker online and social media. He'll give you the cuts and also his quit takes on the move.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.